love is a mountain burned beneath my feet. The love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Joy that's growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel this God song rising up in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, hope of the nations, Jesus, comfort of all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope. Darkness, Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. In history, you lived and died. You broke the chains, you rose to life. You are the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all the world to see. You rose from the dead, conquering fear. Our Prince of Peace, drawing us near. Jesus, the hope, living for all who will receive. Jesus, comforter of all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, light in the darkness. Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light. Chains, you rose alive. You are the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all the world to see. You rose from the dead, conquering fear. Our Prince of Peace, drawing us.
So I just pray, Lord, that all that is said and done now will be honored. Morning. Welcome, and I am glad you are here. You know, it's this beautiful sunny day. It's like summer now, but you chose to be here. Awesome. So welcome. My name's Don Hiscox. The last time I was up here, I was saying I was the youngest elder. I'm not that anymore. I will be becoming the director of ministries here in another week and a bit, so looking forward to that. Let's just open our time here in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here to gather as your people in your church. And God, we pray your blessing upon our service. We thank you for this great time of worship we've just participated in. And God, I pray that you would just continue to be with us, open our hearts and our minds to what you would have us to learn today and to apply in our lives. God, we commit Daryl Schulte right now as he is with his brother, who's not doing well. He's failing and health-wise, and just pray for your peace, your protection there. And Lord, if it's your desire for healing, then we pray to that end. But Lord, we just pray for your peace at this time. And God, we pray for others in our area who have had health issues this past week. We just pray for your continued work in their lives, healing and bringing your peace to them as well and your comfort. God, we again just commit this time to you. Pray your blessing on our time here in your name. Amen. A few announcements. I'm going to start off with youth. Youth is something that's like near and dear to my heart. And we have relaunched our youth program here with junior high and senior high. They met this a few days ago on Friday, and they'll be continuing to meet each Friday for the next month or two. Probably take a break for the summer. But if you are a youth or if you know anyone who is a youth, this is the place to be Friday nights from 7 till 9. So I know we were all youth at one time. We still have a bit of that kid in us. Can we show some excitement for our youth? Woo! Continuing with the theme of excitement, we have an AGM coming up this Thursday. And if you, hear it. Have you ever heard anyone get excited about numbers? Ross Chapin, he's a genius. The guy is awesome. You need to be here to hear him talk numbers, as well as all the other ministry reports of what God's been doing here in our midst over this past year. So come on out. That's Thursday, April 28th at 7 o'clock. And continuing to be excited, let's talk about Church Cleanup Day. Woo! Here on Saturday, it's going to mostly be outdoor work, so be praying for good weather for that. You don't need to sign up. You just have to show up. So be here for 9 o'clock on Saturday, April 30th. Any questions, talk to Ed Holland. Do you want to wave over there, Ed? So Ed's the man. And we also have a loss of the spouse conference or day evening coming up. And if you have lost a spouse or know someone who has, this is an excellent program. And Laura, can you just wave over there, please? There are more of these flyers sitting outside by under the TV out here. So grab one, give one to maybe a neighbor or a friend, you know, a coworker who has lost a spouse, and they can be encouraged to come out to that. There is an email address on the back. It's griefshare@communitybible.ca. We do ask that you sign up in advance, and then that way you can be prepared for your arrival. And that is on May the 16th from 7 to 9. Here at the church. That's sponsored by our Grief Share program. And anything else? Make sure you check your mailbox outside. If you don't have a mailbox yet, call into the office and make sure that you get set up. It's great. I see some new faces here, so you may not have a mailbox yet. If you plan to make this your home, and we hope you do, then we would love to get a mailbox set up for you. And I think that's all I have for now. I'll call up Pastor Doug. He will be our speaker here today, and he's also going to be bringing up a little sidekick for part of the time as well, and Brad Gregus, so we look forward to that as well. Let me just pray again for Doug as he comes. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, and God, we thank you for the gift of Pastor Doug and for Brad Gregus as well as they come this morning. I pray that they would be able to communicate the message clearly to us, and Lord, that we would have our distractions all out of the way. Help us to be focused so that we can receive your word and apply it to our lives in the weeks to come. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Don. And thank you, worship team, for this morning, for leading us in worship. Wonderful time together today, for sure. Brad is my twin brother over here. You'll see him in a minute. We're doing tag team. This is tag team preaching today. Have you ever seen that? I know you wrestlers do that. This is... let's not go there. I bet if I said something like this, Raptors, some of you would go,
yes.
Oh, yeah. Or if I said, Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
Some of you might be excited, or your eyes would get larger, or something like this. What if I said, Jesus Christ?
Yes.
The hope of the nations, the hope of the world, the way to know the living God. Do your eyes get bigger? Does your heart thump faster? It's really interesting, isn't it? The things that get our attention and our excitement and so on. Jesus Christ is the way to know God. He is God in the flesh, come here to give us new life. Pretty amazing. Absolutely amazing. So, this is what we want to focus on today, how important, essential it is that people come to know Jesus in a personal way. And so this is where we're going. I'm going to pause and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to look at God's word today. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that our prayers may be awkward at times, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and answers it, and not in the one who asks, we know that our prayers make a difference in the world. We thank you for this, Lord God. You are faithful. You hear us. You see us. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. We thank you. You see us. You hear us. When we pray, your ears are attentive to those who pray. And so we come to you now. I do pray, Lord, for those who've been struggling with difficulties over the last while. I think of Dan and Jen Desolest and Jen's sickness at this time. I think of Scott Dakin and his wife and the fact they had a car accident, but they're doing well. I pray for Byron Hand, who had a heart attack and is recovering well. Lord, we think of people going through difficult times. And so here we are this morning. We come to you with our own needs, and we pray not only for physical needs. We pray for the spiritual needs of men and women who do not know you, who do not have the hope of eternal life, who do not know you in a personal way and the kind of eternal life that you give, Lord. And we pray by your grace that as a church we will become this kind of an outreaching church that is bringing that's bringing your good news out into the world, and that's living this with joy, excitement, with eyes wide open and hearts beating faster, because you are, Lord Jesus, you are the one who God has sent to be the Savior of the world. And we love you. We love you. So thank you for this time this morning. Would you watch over us as we look into your word? Guide us in this, we pray in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. I don't know if you'd heard that Byron had a heart attack or not, but we are praying for him. He's actually recovering well, and so I wanted to mention that. I'm fascinated by vision and mission statements. You know, most companies and most churches have a vision statement or a mission statement, like, this is what we're about. This is what we are for. This is our purpose, really. A few years ago, Wendy's, the hamburger people, Dave Thomas, he wanted to have a juicy triple patty burger. And what he did was he coined this slogan that became pretty famous for a while, build a better burger. Lots of alliteration, B and B and B, build a better burger. And everybody knew, build it, yeah, you go to Wendy's, if he's building a better burger. All of that purpose for something that will last in your body for about 24 hours, a hamburger. This church has a vision and a mission that's going to last way more than 24 hours. It's going to last forever. We have an eternal calling from God. And we're called to be His people in the world. And the effect of that, the influence of that, the kind of life that we bring out here is an eternal kind of life. The influence is forever. And you are part of the mission of God. You are part of the mission of God in the world, which is going to last for eternity. This is a huge thing. So what is God's purpose for Community Bible Church, for you, and for your part in this? A very significant purpose indeed. And Jesus has outlined this for us in several places, but I'd like us to look at Matthew chapter 28 for a moment, just at the end of Matthew chapter 28. If you look at it, it's really the last thing that Matthew wrote here. It's called the Great Commission. We call it the Great Commission. But it's a fascinating and beautiful passage. It's Jesus talking to his disciples after he has died and resurrected. He's already appeared to them, but he said, I want you to go up to Galilee. I'm going to meet you there on the mountain. So that's where they went. Matthew 28 and verse 16. And I wonder if you'd just stand with me for a moment, please, as we read the Word of God. I'd like to do this. We love the Word of God. We don't worship the Word of God, but we love it. This is God's revelation to us. So Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples, so Judas was no longer there, went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And obviously Jesus appeared there, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now we're going to pause for a minute because I find this a very hopeful passage. That these disciples, these are the guys who were with them for all that while, and they have already seen him dead and resurrected, and now he appears before them again, and they worship him because he deserves to be worshipped, but some doubted. And what's fascinating to me is that these are the very people, very imperfect people, that Jesus commissions to go out into the world and to make disciples of other people. Just perfectly imperfect people like you and like me. Does that encourage you? We don't have to be perfect for this to be a call to us, and that's exactly what it is. So when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth. So I suppose if he'd said, look, some authority has been given to me now on heaven, you know, in heaven and on earth, just some, that might have been, you know, they would have been equipped to have some authority as they go out. But Jesus didn't say that. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus. Therefore, because we go out in Jesus' authority, it's a lot bigger than us, right? Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations, of all people groups, really it is, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Thank you, Lord, for this. Would you open our eyes and our hearts as we look into your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. You may be seated. So, you know, when you look at this, this is big, big authority. This is big power. This is omnipotence. All the power in the universe, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me, and it's in this authority I'm sending you out. We don't go in our own authority. And if any of you feels like I do very often, what's my authority to go out and talk to people about Jesus? What's my authority? What's my power? It's Jesus' authority, and it's his power that equips us and helps us to go out and to be his representatives in the world. And the thing is, as we do this, we step into the flow of what's most important to God. If I'm standing over here and I'm never going out into the world and having anything to do with living for Jesus or sharing Jesus, I'm over here in my own little flow. But when I step over here and I begin to go out into the world to have this purpose in my life, this is the flow of God in the world. This is what's most important to God. He wants people to know Jesus. He wants relationship with men and women in the world. Does this make sense? So when we get involved with him, we step into his flow of what God is doing in the world, and that's a wonderful place to be. So there are four verbs in this sentence: go, make disciples, baptizing, and teaching. Only one is the main verb, so hang with me for the English lesson for a minute, okay? The other three are participles. And as participles, they modify the main verb. The main verb, what do you think it is? Go, make disciples, baptize, or teach? I'm asking you now. What do you think is the main verb? Go, maybe go? Make disciples? Any other? Teach? Baptize. So we got them all four. The main verb is make disciples. And the others as participles, we could probably translate this better by saying, as you're going, because we're all going out into the world anyway, right? We're all going out, we've all got contacts with other people in our world at work and school and wherever it is. As you're going, make disciples of all people, Jesus said. That's the main verb. And how are you going to make disciples? Well, baptizing is a part of this. When people trust Christ, we baptize them, just like last week. Was that exciting last week? Wasn't it really? Three beautiful people publicly declaring their faith in Jesus Christ through baptize and coming into the family of God and declaring that. So baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as you're making disciples, you're teaching them to obey, not just to know. Now, Stuart and Mary have been doing disciple-making journey for a little bit, which I think we're going to hear more about this year ahead. But one of the points that they made really is that this is not saying teaching us to know everything that Jesus commanded, but teaching us to what? Obey everything that Christ has commanded. That we're to be, as followers of Jesus, we're obeying what he's doing, not just knowing it in our heads, but we're following him with our actions. So this is really, the big deal is to make disciples, but first of all, to be disciples. To be disciples. Does this make sense? I have to be a disciple before I can help others become disciples of Jesus Christ. So our mission then is to be disciples and to make disciples. And we're going to have a quiz just now. Everybody likes quizzes, right? You like, do you remember those days in school? We're going to have a pop quiz today. Oh, man. So actually, there was an exam that was happening in a class in the morning. And so there were four guys who skipped the morning class. Four boys went for a drive in the car, and they went all around the countryside, and they came at noon. And when they came into the class, they said, oh, miss, I'm really sorry. We were on the way to school, and the car had a flat tire, and we missed the exam this morning, and we're really, really sorry. She said, oh, it's perfectly all right. It's okay. You still have to write the exam. So I'd like the four of you to sit in the four corners of the room here. And here's the first question. Which tire was flat? Pretty smart. We don't like exams, right? We don't like pop quizzes, and we don't like getting caught either. But here's the quiz today is, how do you think we're doing with the mission, how do you think we're doing with the mission that God has given us? Now, we have a statement that says that we are a Christ-centered community. We're not perfect with that, but we really want to be. A Christ-centered community that's making disciples of Jesus. If you know the statement, that's making disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus, who do these things. By the way, I've gone high tech today. You know, this is paper and never mind. Who, followers of Jesus, who love God, who love his word, who love one another, and who reach out into our world with the gospel. Huh. So the disciples of Jesus then will love God, love his word, love one another, and reach out into the world with the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus, right? So do you think we love God here? Okay. We want to love God, and we want to love him better. I think we work hard at this. Do you think we love his word? Every week we come here, there's preaching from the word, there's quoting from God's word, there's listening to God. And I know for many of you, you're reading your Bibles during the week and so on. Not perfectly, but I think we love God. I think we love his word. Do we love one another? Like, is there any sense of maybe, like, you're precious to God and precious to this body, this family right here? His loving God, loving his word, loving one another, we'll probably all get fairly good marks on those. How about this one? Reaching into our world with the good news of Jesus. As a church, do you think, like your neighbors, the people beside you at work, the people at school, the people, how do you think we're doing with this? Maybe this would be our lowest. Okay, I think it is. God is doing an uprising in this church of people who have a passion for getting the gospel out to people who don't know Jesus yet. The Lord is stirring up hearts. And this value of reaching into our world with the gospel is probably our weakest link. But there's a huge desire to see this happen more and more, and for us to do this more and more. We love God. We want people to know him. We want to get the good news of Jesus out into our community. And when we think about the fact that there are people all around us here, families who don't know Jesus and who are just going to hockey and going to baseball and going to soccer on Sunday mornings, and that's kind of their life. And yet in their hearts and minds, many of them pray from time to time. They don't know who they're praying to. They just call out to God. They want some values for their children, but they don't know where their kids are getting their values. They maybe could happen at church, and they wouldn't mind joining a church that's a healthy church, where there's good stuff, positive things happening. We want to be that kind of church. CBC wants to be that kind of church. And I've asked my brother, Brad, my twin brother over here, to come and talk to us for a few minutes about how the Lord has been challenging him and using him in bringing the good news of Jesus out to other people. This is Builder Brad, my brother. We both wore our jackets today and our black and black. You see, I told you we're twins. So, Brad, God bless you, brother.
Well, it's a good start. Oh, the jacket. You know, Don announced that program this week about for a lost spouse. I sat down here and I look around. No, where's my wife? She doesn't. This jacket, she says, it makes you look like Big Bird. My father used to say it makes you look like a school bus. Anyway, that's a little sidebar on the jacket thing, because I don't have much time here, but when I was doing a project in Bermuda, Bermuda's a white-collar town, and everybody's working in the banking industry or the insurance industry, and so everybody's wearing these jackets. There's four or five clothing stores that went out, they commissioned a manufacturer to make these jackets up in about 12 different colors. And you don't get them with matching slacks, you get them with Bermuda shorts that come down to your knees, and then the matching socks that come up and roll up under, like soccer socks, and a tie. Imagine how ridiculous I would look in that. So my father's down, and he's walking, and he's noticing this for a few days, everybody wearing these jackets. He says, you know, I'd like to maybe get something when I'm down here. I said, well, we're going out for dinner Friday night, and the place we're going to, you have to wear a jacket. So anyway, we went down to the clothing store, and so I pick him out one in pink. And he goes, what, really? I said, oh, yeah, no, I said, back home, you'll be a real trendsetter with this one. No, so kidding. And so he's kind of, you know, buying into it a little bit. And so he's got and then I pick out the socks, you know, and said, what about the shorts? Now, what size? He says, probably a 40. So I pick out a 38, you know. And I give him, and he goes in. I said, now you go in there and you get changed in the booth there. So while he's in there, I take out my camera and I'm getting it set up. And I said, just wait till Jerry McLean and Bill Haskin, the boys down at the golf course, get a picture of this, right? Well, he's not in there 15 seconds. Comes bursting out of there, throws the clothes in my arms, and he says, I knew you had that camera. He said, son, I love you, but I don't trust you. I'm a builder. That's part of the purpose that God placed me on this earth. But I'm also a grandfather to 11 grandsons. Now, have I told you about my 11 grandsons? Okay. That's another part of my purpose here, is to help to raise them up to know and love and serve the Lord and to be real men. Now, God has defined another part of my purpose here on earth, and that's he's instructed me in the Gospel of Mark, as we heard earlier from Matthew. And of course, it was found it important enough that he made sure that Mark, Matthew, Luke, and Paul, in this letter to Timothy, wrote this down several times, and of course Peter and Jude as well. So we're created because of the Word of God. We're here because of the Word of God. So now let us stand for the Word of God. From Mark chapter 16. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Be seated. So pastors asked me, he said, I want you to come up today and just kind of explain what it is you do and how it is you do it, and you've got 14 minutes, and then he muttered something about a trap door. There. So, the story behind this piece of artwork here. Wherever I had to work in the world, I used to like to go to art galleries and art exhibits, that, and I used to try and find or look at things, how they depicted Christ in different parts of the world, and it would vary around the world. But what it was kind of unusual was that through Eastern Europe and the East Bloc countries like Czech and Slovakia and Poland and Ukraine and Latvia and Lithuania and Russia, Christ was often depicted in this form, and it was referred to as the pensive Christ, and. Now, the story behind the barbed wire is that the artist told me that the barbed wire was taken from the tanks when Ukraine was trying to get freedom in the early 90s, in 91. Russia came in with their tanks. However, they realized the whole world was watching it, and they backed up. But they wrapped the tanks with barbed wire so that nobody could crawl up and throw a grenade inside. And that's the story. And I'm kind of an easy sell on this stuff when artists tell me these things. But usually if this is depicted in the form of a piece of artwork or a print, there's the Bible verse on the bottom is from Luke 18 and 8, where Jesus, after telling the story of the persistent widow and the judge, then seems to break away to something that's unrelated, but it actually is. And Jesus says, when the Son of Man returns, I wonder if he'll find faith. It's a sobering thought. God's only given me three areas to share the gospel over all these years. It's the construction workers, the baseball people, and the Catholics. That's all he's given me, just that small area. And people sitting beside me in the airplane, or my grandchildren. You know, in the airplane, you know, I would always get a seat beside the window because I liked geography and topography, and I would always line up first to try and get in the plane. I get in and I put a Bible tract in the pouch of the one next to me, facing out. And I'd be sitting there, I'd be looking out the window, and the person would sit down, and we'd take off, and then we'd engage in some kind of conversation. And I'd say, you know, this is a be a great day if this plane lands. And says, what do you mean by that? I said, well, you know, I've flown over 2,400 times, and I often kind of wonder, you know, you kind of think, I wonder if, like, does my good fortune run out one of these days? Because, you know, if it goes down, and you know, they'll put their drink down, and you get their attention then. And I said, but I'm glad that I prepared for it. Well, how did you prepare for it? And so you see, you always make a statement that invokes a question that opens a door, and then I'll spend the next hour and a half sharing the gospel, and then quite often then conversation will fade away and I'll go open my laptop and he'll do his thing. And invariably, he'll reach for that Bible track. And I go, there, got it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So I found that over the years, you often would follow developing relationships with people, whether at work or on the baseball fields, or amongst my old Catholic friends. And I always would try to find ways to stick a handle, a conversation, to sway it over into things of the Lord or about the Lord. Now, before I go any further, I just need to pre-qualify myself here. I'm born in Osmer Township on the farm, and I'm a carpenter. I didn't go to Dallas Theological Seminary. I got no qualifications that way. But neither did most of the 72 that Jesus sent out. And they returned and said, unbelievable. They listened, they received, they repented. We laid hands on them and they were healed. And demons left. And Jesus said, ha, see, yeah, my Father in heaven, he revealed this stuff to you. Yeah, so we have to kind of just know our place in the Lord. And he gives us a lofty place to be able to share the gospel faithfully, quietly, in a way that people are comfortable and will look around and realize maybe there's nobody else around, so they open their hearts to receive it. Now, as a construction manager on my sites, I had many, many opportunities to share the gospel. In a lot of different, from everywhere from like just opening up a meeting, general meeting when there'd be the architects, the owners, the consultants, and the guys on site, and just opening up with prayer and just asking God for guidance, for leadership, so that the guys on site would be aware of safety and just for his overall protection and guidance. Now, I'll tell you this one story. In Winnipeg. So I had this huge hospital. The mechanical electrical floor was the entire size of this whole property. And I had two young superintendents. One was from Afghanistan, and one was from Iran, Nazir and Fadim. And these guys were brilliant. One had his master's degree in electrical engineering, the other's master's degree in mechanical engineering, and I had them in charge of this area. And I would chart their progress, and I noticed as the job was going on, they were starting to slip on schedule. And so I brought them to my desk one day and said, guys, we got a problem up there. We're not gonna make it. No, we're doing fine, they said. I said, no, we're not. And I explained to you what's happening here is that in 4 months from now, I have a helicopter booked for $60,000 to drop all the big units in that area. And I paid $40,000 in advance as a down payment. If we don't make that date, we're not gonna make it. And the next morning, you two guys and me, we can share the same cab down to the unemployment office. You see, guys, I only have so much time here left in the face of the earth, and there's certain things I got to get done before I leave. And they go off like scared rabbits. A couple of days later, one of them comes back. He said, Mr. Gregus, I haven't been able to sleep for two nights. I need to know... Are you going to die? I said, yes, I am. He said, when? I said, I don't know. But I said, I prepared for it. You have? How? And then I explained the gospel to him. Oleg, my Russian Jewish carpenter. Ah, carpenter foreman. He had no relationship with God. He was raised Jewish, but didn't know God. He knew about Jesus, but didn't know Jesus. And I used to tell him, I said, Oleg, do you know that you're the most special guy here in this site? What are you talking about? I said, no. You've got these special skills, but more importantly, you're God's chosen child. What? I said, yeah, and I have to treat you special. What? He said, yeah. I said, in Genesis 12 and 3, if you bless my people Israel, I will bless you. But if you curse them, things aren't going to work out so well for you. So I get it. Believe me, if I'm not treating you well, you let me know, because it's going to turn out bad for me. And then occasionally in fun, I would just lay hands on him and pray from Numbers 6 and 22, 24, may the Lord bless you and keep you and that. So there was times when you could inject a bit of humor and have some fun. I remember after a few months, he said, my wife and I were thinking we should start reading the Torah again. I said, that's Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. I said, how about we just move ahead to Isaiah 53 and then the Gospel of John. We'll see what kind of progress we make there. You might find it a little more interesting than, I won't make you do that all over again. But not everybody warms up. I remember I had an electrician in Windsor, and after several weeks, I come up near him. He was working on a panel. He says, don't come up to me talking about this God stuff. I heard about you. I don't want no part of it, because I don't believe in God. I said, you know what? He doesn't care what you don't believe. He believes in you. A couple weeks later, we're passing each other in a hall, and he says, we got to talk. Oh, baseball. Baseball. So I've been kind of involved in the baseball community for forever, I guess. And there was a period of time I took a reprieve from Ellis Don to go out and get our company going in the U.S. and setting up plants and distributors down there. So I've been on all these baseball fields and major league parks. And I remember what you could always do with these guys is that because they're groundskeepers, but essentially they're like agronomists, I could always talk to them about seed, and they would ask questions about seed and reseeding and overseeding. And of course the question is always like, how much seed actually ever takes? And I would say, it's just like Jesus tells us in Luke, it all depends. Like if you got some rocky soil, or you got some soil that's not very good quality, or if it's not tilled up properly, you don't know whether it takes. And then the birds come and they pick some of it away, or some get stuck in under some some leaves and some weeds. So you're never really sure. It all depends on how well you prepare your heart to receive it. See, when we share the gospel, we're not always going to witness conversion right at that moment. But what I want everybody to go home at night, lay on their pillow in the dark, looking at the ceiling, and thinking about that. I want them to consider God. And baseball, I do this little routine with the guys, but I tell them, I explain to them how baseball is like our walk with God. And that, you know, we step into the batter's box and we're sitting there and we're mumbling and grumbling because we can't get a hit. We can't get on base. And we just can't seem to get anywhere. And we're doing this. And the umpire, Jesus, takes off his mask. Says, "What's the problem?" I said, I'm not getting on base. I can't get anywhere. He said, "Well, I can put you on first base." "Oh, you can?" "Yeah." "But I said, I didn't do anything to deserve it." "No." "But I don't warrant it." "No." "But do you believe I can put you there?" "Yeah." "Well, yeah, I believe." "Well, then I'll put you on first base." And the moment you believe, you become born again. But you still have to round the bases. You still have to get home. You still have to do life. Oh, and my friends, my Catholic friends, how I have a burden for them. But I often introduce myself as a born Catholic, and that, you know, that there's some validity in that with them, and I talk to them about how we both understand that Jesus came to die for our sins, and that we receive forgiveness from our sins, and when we believe. And when we believe, we're given assurance. Have I ever told you about Rob McMillan? So Rob McMillan, when I was with doing the thing in the States with baseball, we had several accounts with Major League Fields. One of them was the Chicago White Sox. But I'd set up a new dealer down in the south end of Illinois, and the sales rep for them said, "Listen, I'm not comfortable going to meeting this guy, the Chicago White Sox. I would rather you go with me." So I said, "Okay, fine." So I phoned up Roger and said, "Roger, I got this guy. He's going to take my place here, going to represent us, and can we meet?" "So yeah, can you be here tomorrow?" "So yeah, we can." So Rob McMillan and I jumped in the truck the next morning. Now, Rob is 6'8". He filled the side of my truck. And he's Catholic, he tells me. So we're driving up to Chicago. It's a five-hour drive. And a few hours up the road, I ask him about God. I said, what do you know about God? Oh, he said, "Don't talk to me about this." I said, "Well, I just wonder." He said, "No." And he's looking out his window. He says, "No, you wouldn't understand. I'm not going to try to explain." He said, "Because I'm Catholic." And I'm looking out this window thinking, "Thank you, Holy Ghost." And so for the next hour and a half, I'm sharing the gospel with him. And we're approaching Chicago, but Chicago, you know, the flatlands of Illinois and Indiana, you can see Chicago from an hour away. And so I get to a certain point, and in my wallet, I carry a rolled-up version of the sinner's prayer. And one side is the regular version, and on the opposite side is what I call the Catholic version. And it's meant for people who think they're saved and then realize they're not. And so I handed it to him, and I said, "You take a look at this, and see if you're ready to do this." And he said, "Okay." So he walked his way through the sinner's prayer and then immediately bust out into crying. I'd never seen a grown man cry like this in my... And I had a box of Kleenexes there. And there was Kleenexes like everywhere, and it was just a mess. And it got to the point where he emptied out the Kleenex box, and he had his face shoved into the box, and he's weeping. Then he gathered himself together. He said, I got to tell my girlfriend about this. There's been trouble between us, and I just got to tell her about this. And so he got on the phone, and he explained to his girlfriend what he's just done. And she's crying, and she's saying, I've been wanting to talk to you about this, and I want to do what you've done. And so he's leading her through the sinner's prayer on the phone in my truck, from she's 5 hours away. We get to Chicago, and we meet in the afternoon with Roger, and we're out on the field, and Rob goes in, and he sits in the dugout, and we're just 10 feet away out here. We're talking, and Rob is just crying. He's all broke up, and Roger goes, well, what's wrong with him? I said, oh, he's just met Jesus. He'll be fine. You know, don't worry about him. Yeah, he'll get over it. Now, tracks. So I found that tracks are very effective. And you never really know. I mean, we'll know someday when we get to heaven of its effectiveness. It'll be really interesting to meet people and what their story is. But I found that, for instance, these ones here, A Gift for You, they're good for people who really know about the Lord, who grew up in a church, but just never established a relationship. You get to the pertinent questions real quick, and there's a great sinner's prayer, and I find that they're effective. Now, these ones here, Mickey Mantle, I'm starting to have more confidence in them because I think they resonate with men, with boys, with, I don't know. And I leave them in the dugouts, like in the little bin there where they put the helmets. I stick a couple in there, and I find that they go missing. They're taken. At Tim Hortons, like for instance here in Lucan, I'll go in and slip them in. There's a cabinet there where they sell the tea and cups, and I'll just slip in just kind of underneath a thing. A couple weeks ago, I was standing in line, and I slipped one in there, and the person, two people up in front of me, he was standing at the counter, and he couldn't make up his mind. I go, oh, we'll never get out of here. So I used the washroom, and I come back. In the meantime, two other people had come into the line. I got behind them, and I looked, and the track was gone. But about three people up, there's a guy there. He's got it opened up, and he's reading. And then he gets to the counter, and the girl says, excuse me, next. Oh, he goes, yeah, and he puts the track in his pocket. You know, we just pray. So you always, you lay hands on these things and you pray and you ask for God to deliver.
Brad, I know you've got stories all day, brother. Tell us about this thing and then I'm going to conclude. Okay?
Well, I'll jump, you know, I've got these things all over them.
I know.
Al McGurl would be proud of me.
That's right. Yeah. Al McGurl had everything in his pockets there.
So here's what I'm going to get. Here's the point. Despite our feelings of inadequacies or not being prepared for this kind of thing, is that God sent out the 72, and they weren't theologians, but they came back and they had victory in Christ. And so God takes our best efforts, and our best presentation, and he baptizes it in grace, and then he redeems it for his purification, and then he sanctifies it for his purpose and his gain. I'll close with this.
Okay.
When I was a boy, a young teenager, my younger brother had a paper route, and I had to help him in the wintertime if there's a snowstorm or if there's sleet or a blizzard, and we had to pull this stuff around. He had 70 or 80 papers, and every one of our customers was older than us, more learned of the things of the world than us, and so our job wasn't to explain the news or to analyze the news, or even to verify the news even happened. Our job was to deliver the news. And I'll leave that with you.
This is really helpful, Brad. Thank you so much. You should talk with Brad later. He's got more stories to tell.
Some of them are even true.
and they're really helpful. So here's what we need to do. I want to conclude just now because as a church, over the next 6 weeks, we want to focus on this value of reaching into our world with the gospel. And we want to take wherever we are in our personal life and ask the Lord to help us grow in this area. And we're inviting you, actually, God is inviting you to join this and to see how this works in your own life. And in order to do this, we've got two things. One is we're going to pray like mad. And that's why you all have a little colored card there, a little colored 3x5 card. And Ruthie, I'll take this one for now. You have a card like this, whatever color it happens to be. We are asking you on this card to write down the names of 5 people. You can do more or you can do less, but we're just aiming at 5 people who don't know Jesus yet, who you love and who you would like to know Jesus. 5 people, if you'd write down the names of those 5 people on this card and carry the card with you for the next 6 weeks. Put it in your pocket, put it in your wallet, put it somewhere or other. Who is it that God has placed on your heart who doesn't know Jesus yet, who you would really love for them to know Jesus? 5 people, write their names on the card and pray for them every day. Okay? This is the first thing we're going to do because, you know, when a person gets born again, when a person gets saved, like Brad's been talking about here, it's not Brad, it's not me, it's not you, it's the Holy Spirit working in their life. And so we want to pray that God will be working in their hearts and preparing their hearts to hear the good news and to feel the goodness of Jesus in their life. So we're asking you to take the card, write the name of 5 people, and pray for them every day, okay? And we'll be reminding you week by week for the next 6 weeks. In other words, all the way through May, right? The second thing is this. We have a book called Surprise the World, and there are a bunch of them on a table right out here on your way out. The cost is $10, but you can pick one up today and put $10 in the offering boxes any day at all. One per family, if you would. And it's called Surprise the World, The 5 Habits of Highly Missional People. This is not a perfect book. It's a really good book. It's a very helpful book, full of a bunch of ideas. But we'd like you to read this book, and then over these next 6 weeks, actually, 5 practices, we're going to be talking about things that we can do that help us to relate better to other people in our world. So there are 3 real concrete goals over these next 6 weeks. One is up, we're going to draw closer to the Lord. 2 is in, we're going to draw closer to one another and strengthen our relationships within the church. And 3 is out, up, in, and out. We're going to be praying that God will help us reach out in new ways to people who don't know Jesus, reaching out into our world, reaching into our world with the gospel. And there are the 5 habits that we're going to be looking at and reading over the next few weeks are these 5 right here. And you'll see that the acronym is BELLS, right? BELLS. We're going to learn more about how to bless people in our church and out in the world. People who love Jesus, people who don't. We don't have to learn how to eat. We're going to actually spend time eating with people in the church and people who don't know Jesus yet. You'll be invited to take part in this. It's amazing how many times Jesus is meeting with people over food. And so we're going to do the same thing as we're building relationships with people. Eat. We're going to listen. We're going to really listen to the Holy Spirit and learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit prompting us. So who is it at work? Where are you working, Lord? And how do I... And we've talked about this before. Sometimes the promptings of the Holy Spirit they lead us in directions. So we're going to be listening to the Lord. Here, the fourth pattern is to learn Jesus. To learn, we're going to spend some time just soaking in the person of Jesus to see how did he just relate to people? How did he reach out to people? He was always walking around, talking to people and so on. We're going to learn more about Jesus. And the fifth one here is sent. We are a sent people. And we're going to end with this idea that our goal is not just to have a nice church service. That is not our goal, right? We work hard at it. But our goal, the mission that Jesus has given us is we're sent out into the world with the good news of Jesus. So we're going to love people. As we do this, we're going to pray like mad for those people on our list. We're going to be doing these patterns, these practices over the next few weeks, and we're going to see what God will do. It's an invitation to you. And as a church, we'll see at the end of these 6 weeks, we'll see what God has done. Who are the people on your heart? And as we do, we're going to hear stories about what God is doing. Week by week, we'll hear stories, and you may have a story of how you tried something and it didn't work. It's a wonderful story. We have to do something, right? Or you try something and it did work. We're going to be hearing stories. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus was halfway down looking over Jerusalem, and he wept. He wept over men and women who would not receive him for us. We want to be the people who are praying and even weeping over people who are refusing Jesus and bringing the good news of Jesus to them. So Lord, this, we believe firmly, this is your plan for a Community Bible Church over these next 6 weeks. We pray that you will move our hearts and help us to step up and to learn and to grow and in humility, to risk. Some of us are very risk averse, we know this. Help us to step out and acknowledge that we're followers of Jesus. And we'll see what you do. So guide us in this. Lead us. Help us as we pray, Lord. We give ourselves to you to be your servants on this earth. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the eternal life you've given us. We want others to know. So guide us in this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Harold, come and lead us in our final worship song here.
Thank you, Doug, and thank you, Brad. I think you guys can hear me now through the microphone. So I'll switch the batteries out, so hopefully that's good. So and before I even do the last song, thanks to the sound, the guys back, because we did a repeat of the last song before the sermon, and that's really good that I follow along. So, but please stand with us as we sing Shout to the North.
Men of faith, rise up and sing of the great and glorious King. You are strong when you feel weak, in your brokenness complete. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west, Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Rise up, women of the truth, stand and sing to broken hearts. Who can know the healing power of our awesome King of love? Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west, Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. child in need of faith, the Lord Jesus Christ embrace. He will wash your sins away and your soul completely save. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. We've been through fire, we've been through rain, we've been refined by the power of His name. We've fallen deeper in love with You. You burn the truth on our lips. Shout to the north and the south.
We will sing
to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Rise up, church, with broken wings. Fill this place with songs again of our God who reigns on high. By His grace again we'll fly. Shout to the north and the south.
We will
sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth.
Again, I want to give thanks to Brad in reference to Isaiah 53. Go home and read it, and you'll see more of Christ. And his reference to Numbers as well, the blessing that Aaron spoke over the nation of Israel. And what a beautiful way always to go to that passage and say that blessing upon us and ask God to bless us that way. But I'm going to draw your attention to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. And the Lord be with you all. Amen.
Just one thing before you go. Remember the two things for this week. Pray, write on the card, pray like mad. These books are out here just as you leave. If you're not going to read this, don't take it, okay? But if you're going to read it, take one for your family. But there aren't enough just to put on a shelf somewhere in your home for future reading. We're going to read this, okay? Read the first couple of weeks for next Sunday. Thanks. God bless you.
See ya.